Number 6, and you follow along there. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you," here's the verse, "wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Isn't that an honor? I can't find any memorial in Scripture that could equal that. I hope you understood what the Lord said. He was so moved with what this woman had just done that he said, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the story is told of my death, burial, and resurrection, what this woman has done will also be remembered as a memorial to her. I don't know about you, but that's quite an honor. To do something for the Lord, to serve him in such a way that he would declare that what you just did is to be remembered, and it's to be handed down generation after generation. Did that come to pass? Absolutely. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about what she did. So Christ's will was obeyed there. Believers, for 2,000 years, when they've read this part of their Bibles, they have been put in memory of what this Mary of Bethany did to our Lord. That's quite an honor. Imagine having something you did for the Lord recorded in the pages of his word. And he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Doing something that would so move the heart of God that he would say, "I'm placing what this woman did, I'm placing her act on such a level as to make no mistake about it, I want my disciples to be put in remembrance of what this woman has just done." Now, I'd like to think that my service to the Lord would move him as that woman's service moved him. I'm not expecting the Lord to write any new scripture and put my name in it. That's not what I'm saying. But what that tells me is that the Lord does take inventory of the service of his disciples. He examined what this woman had just done to him, and he had considered what she had done, and it so moved him that he made the statement, "Wherever the gospel's preached, make sure you remember what this woman's just done." So is the Lord concerned with your service? Absolutely. Does he examine your service? Certainly he does. Now, let's read the other passage where this is found, Mark 14. Look in Mark 14 just to get the full account here. Mark 14, verse 3. Mark 14, 3. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight to be clear and effective, and may your word find its mark in our hearts. May we examine our service, Lord. May we look and may we consider what service we're rendering to you. And I pray you'd be pleased with the service that we give. And Lord, I pray you'd use this message to expose the faults and maybe the weaknesses that some of us may be exhibiting in our service to you. I pray you'd help me to be a clear speaker and effective teacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you go back over to Matthew 26? And we'll be mainly here, but we'll be going back to Mark 2 to refer. But what was it about this woman's service? I made a little list. What was it about this woman and what she had done that so moved the Lord that he elevated her action to the level where he said, wherever the gospel's preached, make sure you mention this as well. What was it? I think there's a few things. And by the way, what blessed me the most when I was making this list is very simple. Everything that this woman did to earn such a commendation from the Lord are all things that you and I could do. This woman did nothing out of our reach. This woman did nothing that any born-again Christian in this house couldn't do. So be careful. Be careful of the temptation. Let me conduct a poll here. How many times have you heard somebody preach about characters of the Bible, Paul, Peter, James, John, Elijah, John, David, and you hear about their faith and their service, and a little part of you somehow gets the idea that they're way up here, and although you try your best, you really never could reach that level of the Christian life. You ever been tempted to think that way? I've been tempted to think that way. And you almost idolize those people, and you almost want to put them on a shelf and say, now that's a supermodel of what a Christian is. If I could just get to that level. Well, the truth is, folks, you can. Amen? Amen. Peter, James, Paul, John, Elijah, they were all men. In fact, the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you and I. What does it take to please the Lord? Faith. And you can have faith. That's one thing I appreciate about faith. It's the thing that pleases the Lord, and it's the one thing that every believer can demonstrate. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter how good or bad your health is, no matter how far you've gone in school, everybody in this room can have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So don't get the idea that Mary is on another level and that you could never attain to that level. If you've been born again, if you love the Lord, if you have faith, you can please the Lord as much with your service as this woman did. All right. First of all, what was it about this woman's actions? Look in back in chapter 26, look at verse 12. The words of the Lord here in verse 12, "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." You know why this so moved the Lord? Because when she came into that room and she took that box and she broke the box, I don't know how she broke it. Maybe she had brought something to use to smash it. Maybe she had hit it against something. I don't know how the thing was broken, but it was a box that she had broken. And if you study the New Testament, you'll find that before the Lord could use anything, he always had to break it. In this instance, the box was broken. When he multiplied the bread and the fish, remember what he did before he distributed it? He broke it. Before our salvation was complete, what happened to our Lord's body? It was broken for us. So the Lord uses broken things. And as a rule, if you study Christian biographies and Christian history, and certainly Bible characters, it seems to me that any person that God has used greatly, if you'll examine their life and look at their history, there's almost always been a breaking point somewhere where God has brought that person through a dark trial. And this woman broke the alabaster box. Now, why did that move the Lord so much? Why did she do it, folks? Verse 12, why did this woman do this? She did it for his burial. Do you know she's the only one in that whole crowd that actually got it? How many times do you read, folks, Jesus told his disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and they would arrest him and that he would be crucified and that he would die and he would rise again? And over, the scripture says that they just didn't get it. He told them over and over, but it's like a blindness was on their eyes. And although he told them he was going to have to die and be buried and rise again, those men, those disciples, didn't seem to get it. But this woman, Mary, she got it. She had heard Jesus preach, and she had heard him say that I'm going to be crucified and I'll rise again. And she said in her mind, well, if he's going to be crucified, if he's going to die, then it's only proper that his body be anointed. And she knew in her mind that if he did die and he was buried, like he said, he would rise again. And so if she was going to get his body anointed, she better do it before he died, because he wouldn't be in that tomb after 3 days. That's what blessed the Lord, folks, because that woman, apart from all of these disciples, she truly got the message. You know, that was some ways a slap in the face to those disciples. Here they were. They were the men that had been chosen. They were supposed to be the ones who demonstrated the most faith. But here's this woman. And of all the people in that room, she believed his word. And that moved the Lord. Hold your place here and turn to Mark chapter 16. I want to show you this. Maybe you don't quite get it yet. The point here is, this woman did this for a particular purpose. She was a Jew, and the custom of the Jews was, of course, to anoint the body. She, knowing that the Lord would be crucified and buried at the time of the Passover, she knew that she would not be able to go to the tomb there and anoint his body. And she knew that by the time the Passover was over and it was time to go with the other women to anoint his body, she knew something. What did she know, folks? That if she went with the other women when they were allowed to go after the Passover, something would be missing. What'd be missing? The Lord. If you're going to go anoint a body, isn't it helpful to have the body? She knew something, folks. She had heard him preach, and she thought, well, now, if he's going to be crucified, and he said after 3 days he'd rise again, if I'm going to anoint his body, I better do it now. And that's why she comes in the room before he's crucified, and she anoints his body with this precious perfume and runs down his head, over his face, onto his shoulders. And what she's saying is, I'm symbolically preparing my Lord for his death. Because he's told me now he's going to die. And he's told me he's going to be buried for 3 days. And he's told me that after 3 days he'll rise again. So she's thinking to herself, either he's telling the truth or he's not. I'm going to believe him. So if I'm going to do this service, I better do it now. Everybody together so far? How can we prove this was her intention? Mark 16. Look at it. Mark chapter 16. Now, in Mark 16, verse 1, we find a group of women here, and Mary, ordinarily, this same Mary, would have been with these women. But Mark 16, 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So they're about to do right here what Mary had already done. They're doing the same thing to the Lord. She had just done it earlier. Verse 2, and very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Then you read on through there, and the angel says, as you know what he said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. I'm reading in verse 6 now. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But there's one woman missing from this passage. Mary of Bethany. Mary Magdalene's here. And Mary, the mother of James, is here. But Mary of Bethany is not with the women in Mark chapter 16. Know why she isn't there, folks? She knew it'd be a waste of her time. She knew, and maybe those women, maybe they stopped by Mary Bethany's house that morning. Maybe they said, Mary, you going to get up and go with us down to the graveyard? In the South, we call it decoration. Is that what you call it up here, where you go and you put flowers on the graves, decoration day? Well, this is what they were doing, in essence. And these women, they were getting ready to go anoint the body of the Lord. And the mayor stopped at Mary Bethany's house. Mary, you coming with us? No, not this morning, girls. Maybe they started talking about her, you know. Well, what a thing. Imagine, she's going to sleep in. She's not going with us. I don't know what the conversation was. That's my sanctified imagination. But whatever happened, Mary of Bethany, at least in this passage. Now, there were more than one Mary in the New Testament. But it says here, Mary Magdalene, we know who she is, and Mary the mother of James and Siloam had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. But Mary of Bethany wasn't there. I think in her heart, she had already settled that the Lord had told the truth when he had said, I'll be buried and I'll rise again. And that's why she came early. That's why she wasn't there. I think she knew it'd be a trip that she didn't need to make to the graveyard that morning because the Lord wouldn't be there. Now, here's the message. Go back to Matthew 26. What moved the Lord so much about this woman's service was he knew that among all those disciples, here was a woman who believed his word. And do you know what pleases the Lord, folks, tonight? You may be thinking, I'm going to give you some profound spiritual secret. There's nothing profound about it. The Lord is moved by Christians who will simply take his word and believe it. If the book says it, it's true. Remember a while back there was that phrase, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Remember that? Well, it's been said before, but it's true. That's a little too long. A little too wordy. You can take the middle part out. Because the truth is, if God says it, then that settles it. Now, if you believe it, that's good. But even if you don't believe it, that still settles it if God said it. And Mary, she was listening to the Lord for 3 years, and he had said to him, I'm going to have to die. I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be buried. And the men just let it go over their heads. They just didn't see it. I know they didn't expect it because they were all genuinely surprised when the Lord did rise again. Where were they on the third day? Where did they expect to find the Lord? Back there in the tomb. If they had believed him, they wouldn't have gone to the tomb that morning, would they? But they went. The women went, expecting to find his body. Here's the point in all this, folks. I don't want to labor the point, but if you want to please the Lord, then just believe what he said. Amen. That's so simple. I mean, that's what you learn in Sunday school, but it's true. I don't care what you attempt to do for the Lord, if all of your service is not grounded in a simple trust in his word, then your service won't amount to much. You can put a good show on when you come here, and you can carry a Bible and say you believe it, but the test is when you go home. Do you live by his word? Do you believe it? Mary did. And what I see here is, maybe to the onlooker, it looked just like this woman was pouring some perfume on the Lord's head, but it symbolized far more than that. It symbolized that she had got his message. Maybe the others hadn't got it, but she had got it. I want to ask you a question. Do you get the Lord's message? Or are you, as most of the world is, spiritually blind to what the Lord's doing in this world? Mary got it. You believe the Lord's word? I trust you do. Here's something else about this woman's service that pleased the Lord. And again, these are all things you can do. I'm not going to list anything tonight that's beyond your ability or that's beyond my ability. Now, Matthew 26, go back there and look at verse 7. Notice the reaction from these disciples. Notice I said disciples. This woman gets her harshest criticism not from the enemies of Christ, but from the disciples of Christ. Isn't that hard to believe? Verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his, what's the word? Don't miss that. Saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Can you imagine? Can you imagine telling a woman that had just spent more money than she probably could make in a year on the Lord and them saying that what she had done was just a waste? What a thing to say. That'd be almost like taking somebody here on a Sunday service and somebody come forward and praying at the altar and then asking them, well, what'd you pray about? Well, I prayed for my lost son or my lost daughter, and me saying to them, you just wasted your time. You're taking up time in the service. You're making us wait. I wish you'd just get on with it and just let us get about our service. Quit bothering us. Quit taking up our time. How many of you think you'd be finding a new pastor? I said something like that to somebody who had come to pour their heart out before the Lord. Well, that's basically what they'd done here, folks. The Bible doesn't just say that what she had done made them angry. The Bible said that they were filled with indignation. You ever been indignant about something? I mean, that's inward fury. They were upset about this. You know, I believe they were upset because it convicted their own consciences. Here was this woman who had given her most precious possession to the Lord. And you know what happens when you get a believer who sells out for the Lord? I mean, just says, Lord, if you want it all, you can have it all. You know what that does to other believers who don't love the Lord that much? Sort of convicts them. And it shows them how far short they're falling. And sometimes that makes them angry. And this woman serves the Lord despite criticism. You think they heard her say these things? Well, the Bible said the Lord heard them. And if she was close enough to the Lord to be able to pour the ointment over his head, she must have heard them too. This didn't take place, folks, in a large building like this. This took place in somebody's home. So I'm sure she heard it. I'm sure she heard them scoffing. I'm sure she heard them whispering. I'm sure she saw their looks, their indignation. And my, wouldn't it have been easy, folks? Wouldn't it have been easy for her to just run out the back when she heard somebody say, this is a waste? But she stayed, and she served the Lord despite. Did you have something to say? Right. No, it's the Mary of Bethany. Yeah, she was the one that Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Yeah, that's the only Mary of Bethany we read about in Scripture. That's the same one. So she had been in a place, she had heard him preach several times. And the fact that the Lord had made his abode in her house at several times in Bethany, she heard his word. And she served the Lord, like I said, she served the Lord despite criticism. Now, I don't know about you, maybe you have. Have you ever been criticized for something you did for the Lord? I mean, have you ever had somebody speak evil of something you've done for the Lord in good faith and from the heart, and you've heard somebody, whether directly or indirectly, make some remark about something you've tried to do for the Lord? I'll tell you, folks, it stings. It hurts. When you do something for Christ and your heart's right, and then somebody else makes a comment or judges your motives, that can hurt. But you see, she served the Lord despite that criticism. Here's what I've learned about these folks that criticized her. What were they doing for the Lord? Were they breaking any boxes and anointing his body? Your critics and your naysayers in a church, almost always the crowd who aren't doing anything. They're almost always the one who are just watching everybody else do it. You remember when we had this thing painted here and we had the verse put on the wall? It's been, 5 years ago, I guess, now? I got to make the decision on what verse I wanted to put up there. And my flesh got a hold of me, and I almost wanted to put something up there that wasn't in the Bible, but it's just as true as any verse in the world. And I almost wanted to put up there, workers don't complain, and complainers don't work. Of course, I didn't. I thought that may kind of kill the spirit, you know. I didn't want to do that. But I tell you something, folks, I have to be honest with you. There's probably been times in my Christian life I've been one of the complainers, too. You got to be careful. What I'm saying is be slow to judge your brother or sister. When they do something for the Lord, maybe they're not even doing it right. Maybe they may not have it all together. Maybe they may do something, and in your eyes, it could have been done differently, or maybe it wasn't done just as it should have been. But if they have a pure heart in it, be careful about criticizing. Be careful about casting reproach upon that person. That sort of thing can really hurt a believer. And some believers have stopped trying because they've been hurt by the Christians. They've just stopped. And that's always a sad thing to see. But my point tonight is not to dwell on the critics. I'm talking about this woman. Jesus said, remember what she's done, and he was so moved by her service, and he was moved by the fact that she didn't let the critics stop her. And these folks thought this was a waste. I mean, they said, this is a waste. Here's the next thing I want you to see about what she did. This time, go to Mark 14. Go back there to the other account. Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So, yes, Sister Betty, this was Mary Bethany. At this particular point, though, she was not in her own home. She was in the house of one named Simon, but it was that Mary Bethany, that sister of Lazarus. As she sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, I have tried to look at all the resources I have concerning what this thing would have cost in that day. If you went back to that day and the ointment that was probably used and the cost of the alabaster box, and most every source I can consult agree that this thing cost at least $50 of our equivalent today, and maybe as much as $75 to $100. You take that amount at the daily wage of what the average Jew would have made during this day, and although Martha and Mary, as you know, there maybe have been more affluent than some, this was probably still worth about a year's wage to your common worker who earned about a penny a day. As remember the parable, the man went out and hired the people. Now, you got to remember, this is Jewish money. Don't try to convert it. The point here is, this was not a cheap sacrifice. Can you imagine taking what you make in a year, your yearly salary, whatever it is, and saying every bit of it to the Lord? In some way or another, a year's salary, I'm going to give it all to the Lord. That's what this woman did. She had obviously either been saving the money for some time or whatever the case may be, but the point is, she didn't take anything to him that was secondhand. She didn't serve the Lord with spare time and pocket change, so to speak. She gave of something that was valuable. How many of you remember in the Old Testament when David had really messed it up? And he had angered the Lord by numbering the people. He had taken a census, and God started killing the Israelites because of it. And the Jews started dying. The angel of the Lord came down, and David said, I've got to make a sacrifice to God to stop this punishment. And David the king goes to a man named Ornan. O-R-N-A-N is his name. You read about him in Chronicles. And Ornan was a man who was a wealthy man. He owned the threshing floor. And he owned all the instruments you would need to sacrifice the cattle. And he owned the bulls. And this is a wealthy man. David goes to him and says, I need this threshing floor. I need these animals. I need these instruments. I've got to make a blood sacrifice to God and stop this death that I've brought upon my people. And you know what that man said to King David? He said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to charge you a dime. Here's the threshing floor. Here's the cattle. Here's the hooks. Here's the spear, the knife. It's all yours, David. Remember what he did? David said, no, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And David bought that thing for full price. You know what David was saying that some Baptists haven't gotten straight yet? David was saying that I refuse to serve the Lord only when it doesn't cost me anything. David said, I'm going to show the Lord I'm serious, and I'll serve him at retail. Amen? We're always looking for something wholesale, aren't we? Well, that's good to do if you can find it, but not when it comes to your service to God. Don't serve the Lord wholesale. Serve him retail. By the way, for you history buffs, you know where Ornan's threshing floor was located? There's no Muslim that knows this, probably. But Ornan's threshing floor that David paid full price for, if you want to know how much it was, it even gives the exact dollar amount. I forget the chapter it's in. But read over there in 2 Chronicles. That threshing floor was right on top of the Temple Mount. So who owns the Temple Mount? Who owns that over there in Jerusalem? The Jews own it. And right in God's Word, it gives you the title deed and how much King David paid for it. But you go try and tell the United Nations that and see what kind of response you get. So the point is here, this woman, she offered something to the Lord that was precious. Let me ask you this question, I'll move on. Is it costing you anything to serve the Lord? Or do you sort of withdraw? I don't mean just money, folks. That's the first thing people think about. When a preacher talks about sacrifice, people see dollar signs. Or they think the preacher sees dollar signs. That's not what I mean. Is it costing you anything to serve the Lord? Do you serve him as long as it's cheap, but you're not willing to pay in the way of reproach? You're not willing to pay in the sense of giving up something maybe for the good of someone else? What about it? That's between you and your Lord, of course. But isn't the blessing of God worth more than pocket change to you? And spare time and leftover energy? Sure it is. Now finally, and this is probably what blessed me the most about this woman's service. Look back there in Mark 14 again. Notice what the Lord himself said about her service. Mark 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always." Now, I need to make a statement here, because you may get the idea these men were angry for a good reason. You may think that, well, they were just thinking about the poor. That's surely a good reason. They were just thinking maybe they could take that money and feed the poor. In another place, they tried that business, and you know what the Bible made sure to tell us? The Bible said they made that statement not because they cared for the poor, but because Judas held the money bag. In other words, Judas made that statement because he wanted to keep the money. He wasn't concerned about feeding the poor. So you got to be careful about that. You know what I mean, folks? And the Lord said, "You have the poor here with you all the time, but I'm not going to be here forever in my flesh." Now, here's the last thing. Look at verse 8. Here it is. She hath done what she could. That's the phrase. Jesus Christ memorialized this woman because she did what she could. And I'm here tonight to tell you, you're not called to do what I can do. And I'm not called to do what you can do. I don't have the gifts you have. And you don't have the gifts and abilities I have. And I'm thankful that I don't have to rise to the level of what God's called you to do. And you don't have to rise to the level of doing what God's called me to do. The Lord knows what you're capable of, folks. And all he's looking for is, have you done all that you could? Isn't that beautiful? The Lord doesn't require more than you can do. But the trouble of most of us is we're not doing all we can do. We're doing all we want to do. But the Lord knows we could do more. And so this woman, the Lord said about her service, she's done what she could. Now, Mary of Bethany, she couldn't preach like Peter. And she couldn't write like John. And she couldn't travel and start churches like Paul. But you know what? The Lord didn't call her to do any of those things. The Lord gave her something that she could do, and she did it. So here's my question to you tonight. You want to please the Lord? You want him to remember your service? Then ask yourself, are you doing all you can? Maybe you're here and you say, "I wish I could do more." And I'm sure all Christians feel that way at times. I wish I could do more for the Lord. And maybe if you're doing all you can now, he'll enable you to do more. But be careful that you're not falling short of what you can do. Be careful that you're just not doing all you want to do and that's it. Are you doing what you can? That's all the Lord's looking for. I've learned that he's very fair when it comes to his grading process. I've learned that when you are judged of the Lord, you'll be judged on the basis of the ability you have and the opportunities you have. Do you hear me? I'm not going to be judged under the same criteria as Brother Qualls will be judged for, or as Sister Delma will be judged for. I don't have her ability, and I don't have the opportunity she has. And it goes the other way around. You'll stand before the Lord, and you'll be judged on what you could have done. Have you done all you can? That's what he said about her. She hath done what she could. Now, I'm not giving you anything hard tonight. I'm not giving you any mountains to leap and speeding bullets to outrun. I've just given you the simple service of a woman that the world may not think much of. In fact, I'm sure if you went to the Library of Congress tonight, and I forget how many millions of books are there, you probably wouldn't find one book written about Mary of Bethany. But she's in the most important book in the world. Now, wouldn't you want the Lord to be pleased with your service? He was with hers. So do what you can. Let's take a moment to...